Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
You know, we've been going through a series in which we're still involved, which is acquiring the characteristics of Jesus. Acquiring those character traits that he showed us in demonstration so many times. And all through our exploration of the scriptures, from the Sermon on the Mount to where we are today, Jesus has confronted us with what we have been told by the world. He says so many times, "You have heard it said, but I tell you." You've heard it said from pulpits, you've heard it said from scribes and Pharisees, you've heard it said at your mother's knee. You've heard it said, but I tell you. Jesus kind of throws a hand grenade into all of our comfortable, kind of warm and fuzzy feelings that we have. You know, all those traditions that we cling to so hard, and all of those works that we love to do that makes us feel so good about ourselves. Jesus throws into the midst of that something new, a challenge, really, a challenge that we would understand what he wants us to know. It's very difficult sometimes to preach a word that you know is going to be misunderstood or deliberately turned in a different way by the traditions that people have. That there's going to be an objection. And yet, the scriptures say it, and so we have to say it too. Not only will we have to say it, but we have to live it out. Now, the characteristic that Jesus wants to show us that we need to acquire is that he has a characteristic to be our guide. He wants to take us from where we are to where we ought to be. From the place that we live in today to the place where he is preparing for us. We need to go from earth to heaven, and he is our guide. He is our map. He's our GPS, our global positioning system. No one else can tell us how to get there. No one else has the answer. Robert Frost said, "Two roads appear in a wood, two paths, two ways of going." He said, "I took the one less traveled by." If you ever read that poem by Robert Frost, you will find that he was not speaking about our Lord. He was speaking about the natural way that we travel through life. Jesus doesn't let us stay there. Jesus takes us to a new place. And he wants us to be new creatures so we can travel the new road that he builds for us to follow. You know, my wife is English, and I make a lot of fun of her from time to time. But while I was spending time in England, before I even knew my wife, I found that there were Roman roads all over Britain. And you could follow the Roman roads, and I went back to Israel, and you can find the remnants of the Roman roads. There are roads that were built by man, and they were well built, built in an engineering feat that boggles the minds of engineers today. And yet, those roads lead only where men want you to go. The road we travel needs to be the road to heaven. And Jesus is the only one who lays the path for us to walk upon. It is by the light of the bright and morning star that we can be led out of the darkness of our own lives into the life of Christ. Let us go before him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you that you are the God who loves us. You are the one who opens up the way. Jesus is the way. He is the narrow way. Father, help me today, because there is no way that I can possibly speak your words in such a way that they would transform the hearts of those of us who are here. Only you can do that by the power of your Spirit. And so, Father, I ask that you cast my words out, never to be remembered again. But those words that come from you, may they transform us into the new creature, into the new life that you so desperately want us to have. You've loved us so much, you sent your Son into this world, that through him we might all come to a better knowledge and a safer route home. Father, guide us home today by the power of your word and the power of the Spirit of Christ. Take us from where we are. Lift us up from the mucky mire in which we're stuck into your arms and into your care. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you open your Bibles with me today to chapter 7 of Matthew? We're only going to look at two verses, and all of God's people said, Amen. But you still probably need to bring your sack lunch. Listen to what Jesus says. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Well, there you have it. That's the proof of the kind of preacher Jesus is. I know that in our modern way of looking at things, we like to think of Jesus as warm and fuzzy. Did you hear anything warm and fuzzy here? This is a Jesus who speaks to us as a preacher of the Word of God and says, it's my way or the highway. You know, when I was in California recently, I was told that I was chilled. Chilled. My kids couldn't get over that. I said, chilled? Dad? Dad was chilled? Is they talking about Roy Frady who was chilled? I couldn't even understand what chilled meant. I just thought it was another layer of cool. I didn't know. Because they always thought of me as my way, kind of guy. People like to think of Jesus as chilled. But in these verses, he tells us it's either his way or the highway. And he wants us to make a decision. You know, he's confronted us with all the false teachings and all the false teachers. He said that if you listen to the scribes and Pharisees, just like them, you'll no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. I mean, he's been very clear about that. Unless our right relationship with God exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, we will in no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's pretty cut and dry. And now, having confronted us with the world's way and his way, he wants us to make a decision. And the decision we make has to be a real decision that affects every area of our life. We can't just nod yes and assent. That's good. That's fine. My kids used to do that. Yes, Daddy. And then do their own thing. You can't do that. You've got to actually surrender to Christ what he wants. His followers follow his way. There was then, and there is today, a message that is preached, especially by establishment kind of religious circles, whether they're Christian or Buddhism or paganism or whatever kind of ism there is, Islam or Judaism, whatever, that basically says, hey, you can't turn a big ship on a dime. You've heard that. That means that all of you are big ships. Even those of you who've lost a lot of weight are big ships in their mind. There's no sense of urgency. Let's just move them one little step at a time. Let's all get along, go along to get along. Let's just do that. And let's don't rustle anybody's feathers. Let's don't ruffle that. Let's do everything we can to make it nice and peaceful. I can't tell you how many megachurch pastors have told me that when you take a stand against the city or something, we're right there with you. They were so far behind me, you couldn't see them for dust. Because they didn't want to ruffle the political feathers of the congregation. Or they just had that kind of procrastination about them. They were willing to do things one little incremental thing at a time. But you see, there is nothing mushy, warm, and fuzzy about what Jesus says. He draws a line in the sand. My eldest son is named after Colonel Travis. His name is Christopher Travis Freed. Because my family has been in Texas that long. And Travis drew a line with his sword in the sand at the Alamo. He asked the people who would surrender to walk across and be on his side. And those who wanted to save their lives to stay out, to stay on the other side of the line. Jesus draws a line in the sand. He begs us to walk across to his side. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to cross the line and surrender to him everything we are, our wealth, our health, our future, everything we are, everything we hope to be. To be someone who will step across the line means that even if you get a crown, it is simply for the purpose of throwing it at his feet. He wants us to step across the line. Or go to hell. Now, boy, people really don't like to hear that. Isn't that what Jesus says here? One road leads to destruction. What is destruction? It's self-destruction. And it is in total separation from God. And that is hell. You're either with Jesus or you're against Jesus. You have to make a decision. He doesn't give you any options. C.S. Lewis told us that he didn't mean to. That he deliberately drew himself into this corner where you could not do anything except accept him for who he was, the Son of the living God, or reject him. You couldn't have it both ways. You couldn't add Jesus as a peril, accessory to your life. He had to be Lord of your life or nothing at all. He is either God in the flesh or he is a fraud. And your lives reflect what you believe. He is telling us to take the road less traveled by because it leads to God. Enter by the narrow gate, the road that he wants us to travel. It's difficult for us to do, I know. But Jesus says in his compassion, if you walk this road, And it's a hard road. We've just had 34 people accept Christ and ask for Christ to come into their lives during Vacation Bible School. We did not invite them to a rose garden. We told them that they would wear thorns of crowns on their head. We did not disguise for them that this would be a tough road to follow, that they could not do it without the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. I ask you to pray for those people. I handed out their names to you last Sunday so that you would keep them covered with prayer, because we know, having walked part of the way ourselves, that that is a hard road. But what does Jesus do? He says that if you walk this road, he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You walk this road, I'm on it with you. He tells us over and over again that our struggles are his struggles, that our mistakes, our hurts, our trials and tribulations are things that he will carry on his shoulder, because his yoke is easy. He tells us that if we'll come to him, that we can cast all of our cares on him as we travel along the way, that he'll never leave us or forsake us, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that we'll be more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us and walks along the way with us, that we will be the church triumphant, that he will pull us up and carry us with him, because he will not let us fall. He will keep us in the hollow of his hand. He promises that he will never leave you alone ever again if you'll walk across the line and receive him as your guide, as your savior, as your map, as your GPS. You can't do anything in your own strength. You can't walk the road to heaven by yourself. It's paved with rocks that are hard to step over. But Jesus was willing to walk that path for you. He carried his cross, your cross, up a jagged little area. I have walked that walk. In Jerusalem, I know how hard it was for him to carry that cross, the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross. And he stumbled and he fell and he picked it up, even though he had been lashed one lash less than the death penalty, and his skin torn apart, torn from the bones of his body. He still carried your cross. He carried it up that road. He carried it for you. He knows what he's asking us to endure, because he's endured it for us. He took our nails in his hands. He entered into darkness and death so that we could enter into life abundant with him forever. He shows us the way. Sometimes we have a real problem with that. We get carried away in all kinds of theological arguments, you know, between one denomination, denomination, between this and that. All of that is nonsense. Jesus is like straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. You either believe in Jesus Christ and are his forever, or you don't. He says, many are the ones that walk away from him into the way of destruction. He's begging you to enter his way. He says, I am the gate. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. You know, that's where we are. It may sound so hard to people, but that's where we are. You see, God created us and gave us a choice. He gave us free will. I don't know why he did. Probably if I had been in his shape, I would have created people who were all little robots and would have done just exactly what I told them to do. Didn't work with my kids. I tried it. It didn't work. But he honors free will. He wants you to come to him of your own free will. You have free will, and so you can choose any way you want to go. I just got back from California. They're filled with free will. They go any way they want to go, as the rest of the nation does, as the rest of the world does. It's not just something from California. It's something from all of us. It's from our hearts. And we have this free will, and so we can choose to accept his way or the highway. We can choose to do that, and he will honor that decision. You get to make it. He will honor it. It says that Jesus stands at the door of our heart and knocks, but he won't knock the door down. He will not overcome your free will so that he will have his will with you. He honors your free will. The free will to turn the other way, to go the wrong way. You get to choose. You know, sometimes we think we choose between the good teachings of man and the pagan teachings of man. No. That's not the choice that's laid before you. The choice is to choose between God and man. There is no other choice. Oh, we can look at and trust ourselves, and we can do all kinds of things that are anti-God's way, but you still can't make that choice. There are two religions in the world. There have always been two religions in the world. One Satan-inspired religion that's all about you. You remember the hissing in the garden? You can probably still hear it. All those generations since Adam and Eve, our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother and grandfather, were in the garden. Probably still hear it. I know I still hear it. You can probably still hear it. You can be as gods. Surely God will not kill you. God lies. You can either choose between God's accomplishment of his son on the cross or your achievements. That's the choice you have. Choice between faith and flesh. The choice between a religion that carries you into bondage or one that takes you into relationship with Jesus. You can choose. You always have the right to choose. God will not take it away from you. I had a seminary professor who had an impact on me, and he told me that anytime you preach about hell or destruction or anything, always do so with sadness in your heart. Always do so with a tear in your eye for those who will not hear. Always do it reluctantly. I understand what he said. Nobody wants to preach hellfire and brimstone, ultimate destruction. Nobody wants to do that. At least no one I know. They want to go along to get along. You find pastors of big churches where there are lots of people that are politically this way or that way or whatever, and they dance a dance. They don't take the scripture and read it necessarily to their congregations. It's much more of a, you're okay, I'm okay, we're on our way to Biscayne Bay kind of message. A lot of television evangelists and people like that do that. These poor people that watch us on television on Roku, I feel sorry for them in so many ways because they didn't really sign up for what I'm about to say. You at least know from past experience that I'm about to shoot my mouth off. But they don't know. It's hard. Nobody wants to be known as a prejudiced person. person. And it sounds so prejudicial to say, we've got the way, and his name is Jesus. As a matter of fact, if you use his name, it's controversial. If you simply say Jesus in a crowded room, people, as though you'd screamed fire. They throw things at you. They don't want to hear it. And we don't want to say things that put us in that kind of position or spotlight on us that way. I was in California. It was a guy who was running the lights. He said, now if you hold your head this way, we really get that light perfect on you. The light shouldn't be on me anyway. The light needs to be on him. We need to be people who understand the basics about what he said. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and that there are many who go by it. When we say that, we're not trying to hurt people's feelings. We're not trying to make you feel bad. Trust me, Jesus was not doing that. I just told you that he said, come to me, you are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. He promises all these wonderful things for those who cross the line and get on his side. And he wants you to come. He desperately wants you to come. All who will may come. He promises nobody will be cast out who wants a relationship with him. That's good news in a troubled world. It's always been good news. And people say, well, no, our culture is so bad. I hear preachers run off on that, and they'll take this passage, and I read all kinds of commentaries this last week, and I struggled with this message because I realized that it is so difficult to say you're either with him or against him. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. There isn't any warm and fuzzy middle place. It's either one or the other. Now, I don't want to be thought to be narrow-minded. I don't want to be thought to be miserable kind of preacher who preaches this kind of stuff and just, you know. And there are pastors who will get diverted from the truth of the Scripture and will talk instead about the culture. And they'll what was on television on the music awards or something. And they'll say, oh, culture is terrible. Culture is terrible. We're just the most worst people in the face of the earth. And God's judgment's going to come against us. It's been this way since the beginning. There was a time when it got so bad that God destroyed the entire world with water, except for Noah and his family. They get this bad again, and God will destroy the whole world with fire. It will happen, but it was bad when Jesus was born into the world. He was born into a pagan world. Paul went to visit a place called Corinth. It was so immoral that the very name Corinth made sailors blush when they heard it. It was so immoral. We at least have a Christian influence in this country of ours. We need to understand that God's word is the only thing that doesn't change. But there have been a lot of people throughout history who have chosen the broad way. They've chosen it. It's been their choice. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. Those who seek shall find. That is comforting to me, because in the midst of whatever paganism they were involved in, it was all around them to see and to observe and to touch and to feel. They could always reach out to God because he was always there for them, even before he sent his son and ever since he sent his son. But there's only one way. There was one way to escape from the flood. And that was to rise up with the ark. There's only one way to rise up once again, and that's to be taken up by the hands of Jesus, who is our ark. people worry about such strange things. And all this time, people haven't changed, really. And people haven't changed. Not because God wasn't there to transform them. He sent His Son, and His Son sent His Spirit. And the purpose of that was to transform us from who we were, dead in our sins, to being alive with Him. We are to be transformed. We get to choose whether to be transformed or not. Many people have certainly chosen not to be transformed. And yet, Jesus begs us to enter. It says here, enter. And when He says that, it is a plea. Please come. Please come. Accept life. Reject destruction. It is a choice you make. And that plea is a call of love. It is a love that transforms your heart. It is a love that transforms your way and takes you from going the wrong way to going the right way. When I first came to this church, I've said it many times before, I'm going to say it again. When I first came to this church, I wanted to heal everybody who was here. If I had had my way, there wouldn't be a hospital room in all of Plano or any place in the world where there were sick people. I would just go and say, hey, get up and walk. Take Jesus with you. Go home. There were so many hurts. There were so many people that were filled with anger and distrust and things when I first got here because the church had split and had been split many times. And God showed me something. He said, look at the pool of Bethesda. And the pool of Bethesda, I've been there in Israel, and it's round like a horseshoe. And people used to go there and they would be there for the waters because if the water stirred, the Jews believed it was stirred by an angel and they would be healed if they got there first. And He walks to the outer band, it says in the scripture. Jesus walks to the outer band. A person couldn't get to the water even if it was stirred because there was no way with all the people in front of Him. And Jesus asked the question, do you want to be healed? And the man says, there's no one to put me in the water when it's stirred. He's mad at everybody. He's mad at them because they left Him there. But it's His choice. Jesus looks at him again and says, do you want to be healed? If the man had said something like he said the first time to Jesus, Jesus would have walked away and he would have still been there until his dying day. But instead, he looks upon Jesus and he says, yes, I want to be healed. And Jesus says, arise and walk. It is always your decision to walk over the line and be with Jesus. Always your decision. So where are you today? Are you on the broad way that leads to destruction? If you are, you've got lots of company. And you probably say to yourself, well, you know, that's okay. You know, the majority can't be wrong. Those of us who vote in elections understand that the majority can't always be right either. The majority doesn't mean anything. There's a majority of one. Doesn't matter, but you may be in big company and you may have said to yourself, well, there are many ways to God. I believe there are many ways to God. And what you're saying is that you know more about God than Jesus did. You know more about God the Father than Jesus did, who said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Oh, well, I don't like to believe that. Well, do you believe that Jesus is the truth teller, or is He lying to you? Are you believing that Jesus tells us the truth, or that you know the truth? You have to humble yourselves to understand that Jesus is the truth. Herod said, what is the truth? Jesus is the truth. I am the truth. So you may be on that road. You may be on the road that's delusionary, self-delusionary. Hey, I believe this. I've I accept this. This is okay with me. Self-satisfying, self-ingratiating reasons to go down the wild road. But Jesus stands, remember, at the door of your heart and knocks. You don't think Jesus is sorrowful to see that you won't open the door? He comes to the door of every man and woman's and child's heart in the world and knocks. And people don't hear it. Bob Dylan said, it's because it's blowing in the wind. The answer, my friends, is blowing in the wind. We don't hear God because we're listening to everything else. We're listening to the voices of people. We're listening to the hissing of Satan. We listen to all the things. Sometimes we listen to the scribes and Pharisees. You have a kind of religion, but it denies the power thereof. There are people in churches today all around the world who are being led into a ditch. They're being led by blind guides, the Bible says. You know what a ditch looks like? Looks like a grave to me. They're being led as a sheep to the slaughter, because they're not being led by the Holy Spirit of God, by the true Spirit of Christ. I guess the question is, are you, am I, are we on the narrow way? Are we on God's side or are we against Him? Have we chosen our own way, the broad way that leads to destruction, or have we chosen to walk that narrow road toward God? It's a choice you get to make. And He tells us that if we make the choice with Him, that He'll always be there for you to wipe away your tears and to heal your hurts, to take care of you, to love you, to fill you with love overflowing, an agape love that knows no comparable in the world. God will do that. He sent His Son to earth. His Son said, I go to the Father and I leave you another one, the Holy Spirit of God, to lead you in all things, to be a lamp, to guide you and direct you, to carry you back home to be with God. He says, I do that because He loves you. Because He wants to guide you. And He wants us to guide others. You know, as we travel down this road, it's kind of like your fingers. And when your fingers are like this in the form of a victory, it looks as though it's pretty easy to jump back and forth when you start out. But as you get older, it's harder and harder to get from here to there. It's harder and harder to change, jump from road to road. Many of us think that we can go toward God, but what we're actually doing is we're going not up, but we're going away from God. God calls us to have the character traits of Christ, to call others back home to be with Him, to guide others to accept Christ Jesus in love and in our desire to have them with us in heaven. Heaven is not such a small place that only a few, like Jesus says, find it. Heaven is large enough that whosoever will may come. It's ever expanding. Jesus is building places for people as they receive Christ as their Savior. It is a place that is so large that you could fit every human being who ever lived inside. Whoever will live inside and have lots and lots of room left over. Heaven is in the presence of God. That's where He wants us to be, with Him. And so He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Jesus wants you to find it. He's standing right there. He wants you to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. He wants you to be on His side of the line. And so He gives the invitation today. There may be somebody out here who's never really received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Even in a group that's diminished by the holidays today, there may be someone who hasn't stepped across the line. There may be someone who's stepped across the line once, but then they've tried back and forth and tried to straddle the fence and tried to be in both camps at one time, and they've been a little bit of God, a paper bag full of God here and a paper bag full of God there, but they've never really, truly devoted themselves in total surrender to Jesus. And you need to come back and rededicate your life to Him and ask Him to forgive your sins and ask Him to be the one that guides you on home. And there may be some who simply need to join the church or give themselves to full-time Christian service or whatever it is. God is speaking to each of you today. That is why you're here. That is why He is here. Where two or three of us are gathered together in His name, He is here. His invitation is freely given to all who would come. There are no restrictions.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.